Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we've got a special episode for you here with the team behind That Texas Blood and their new spinoff series, The Enfield Gang Massacre. Jacob Phillips and Chris Condon, everybody. Hello. Welcome.
Hey.
Hello.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys so much for jumping on. I'm very excited to talk about this book. Now, just to set it up, this is a spinoff miniseries of That Texas Blood. It's out August 9th. We think the final cut order cutoff date is July 17th. Heads talking about it a little earlier than potentially we would, but people should definitely go out and order it.
Yes,
I wanted to ask you guys, though, with that little bit of like businessy setup out of the way, we love That Texas Blood. We're huge fans of the series, as both of you know. Mm-hmm. But why a spinoff miniseries? Why not another arc of That Texas Blood? What was different about this?
I mean, I feel like the very simple answer is why not. You know, we're sort of just, you know, the relationship that we have with Image is that we just sort of show up and we tell them like basically what we want to do, and they'll say like, okay, yeah, that's fine.
That's the way I am with a lot of my jobs as well. I show up and I'm like, here's what I'm doing today.
Well, we're very fortunate to have that relationship, but yeah, it's basically, I wrote in issue 7 in the back matter that there was this Enfield gang massacre, and Jake drew a little picture. It was in there in the like the double page spread that we had, and Jake asked at that time, are we going to see these guys anymore? And we could. I was like, I really want to do this next arc, but we could do like a spinoff for the next one if you want. And then that was like, that was where the idea came from. It was just, you know, sort of hopping back in time and making it a full on spinoff instead of having it connected. I toyed with the idea of having characters in That Texas Blood talking about the Enfield Game Massacre. And then we're jumping back and forth in time, sort of like we did with the second arc of That Texas Blood, but ended up deciding to just go all in and just have it set in the past and just be dealing with, you know, the massacre itself and the characters that were involved in it. And so we just decided to just do it as its own thing.
Well, Jacob, I'm curious to hear from you. You guys talk about this a little bit of the back matter of the book without getting into spoilers. This is just Chris, you, I think, writing about the book. But you tried to push it artistically as well, move it a little bit away from That Texas Blood. So what was the process like? What did you try to do differently to delineate this from the original series?
Well, I think the starting point was that we thought, wouldn't it be cool to do like 3 panel pages? So like New Frontier kind of layouts, just so you can really push that sort of like cinematic, like, you know, widescreen Western, you know, we have like the big landscapes and all that kind of stuff. And I thought that would be a cool thing to do because we do have quite a lot of, in Texas Blood and in New Bern, I always end up drawing like really quite dense pages. So I was like, oh, this would be like a cool thing. At the time, I was like just thinking for me, and I didn't think about how that makes everything way harder for Chris. tell the same story, but in half the amount of images. So that was sort of a starting point. And it was fun because I think it was because it's a fresh start rather than doing it as a spin-off. As just a Texas Blood arc, we sort of all the things that we've been thinking about in whilst making Texas Blood that we can't really do with that because we've already set up certain ways of working with things. It's like, oh, we could try this. You know, like we went into it with a lot more, I think, like little ideas that we could use to form like the whole. So that was really cool. And like in terms of like coloring and stuff like that, I was watching some, you know, old Westerns, and I was like, oh yeah, this could, like, you know, certain things, like a lot of like reds and oranges with like punches of blue and stuff like that kind of thing. Like going in with a sort of purpose rather than just sort of winging it like I normally do.
Well, and I will say it feels like in the book, it really comes through and it feels like, you know, it feels like a prequel is sort of a comic booky way to talk about it when it does feel feel very so cinematic, but it yeah, take more time with it because there are more words in each panel. The panels are you're sort of you have to sit with a little bit like you would watching a classic Western.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chris, you referenced the man who shot Liberty Valance in the back matter. Great Western. But that all to say, like, what makes a story part of that Texas blood from a universe standpoint? Like, it feels like in the main series, there's been some jumping around in different genres and different sort of areas, I guess, to tell the story. And now this, which is back in time. So what is the essential quality that makes it a that Texas blood?
And do you call it the TTBU or is the TTBC? Yeah.
The TTBEU. Yeah, I mean, I think that what makes it a Texas blood book is that it's set in Texas, for one thing.
Great. Check the box. Yeah.
There's blood.
There's blood. Now, I think that what makes it a Texas blood book is I think that we have a strong emphasis on character. And I also think that we sort of it's the way that we bounce through time. I mean, we even in the way that we open the book, we open where we actually see our main character dead, you know, and so we sort of bounce around in time. And so we always did that with Texas blood. That's one of the things that we've carried over. And also just the dark aspects of life, their life, the story itself, people doing dark, bad things, sort of a noirish quality to it. I think that's what makes it part of our universe, if you want to call it the TTBU, that's fine.
I gotta say, it's really awesome to see you guys have so much fun with this genre. I was wondering what kind of like originally got you guys going for it. Is it a love of Westerns? Is it a love of writing dialogue where it's like, what in tarnation? Like, what kind of originally? Yeah,
Pete read a Yosemite Sam comic book, by the way. I didn't read
it. Hey, they used tarnation in this issue.
I did use tarnation. I mean, when you can use tarnation, I say use it. You know, given the opportunity.
That's how I live my life. It's harder to find it in regular situations.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, on my end, I I've always had a fascination with the West. I mean, there's, you know, I mentioned it in the back matter in the letter, that I, you know, I have photos of me with a cowboy outfit on, Sixth Street. Uh-huh. I've always been obsessed with it. I used to watch old Lone Ranger serials and stuff when I was a kid. So, I mean, it was always there in my mind and it's never left. I always felt like, I mean, the reason we write, why we have that Texas blood is that, I have a fascination with Texas as a place. It's sort of that, like the American mythology of it all. I love delving into those characters and you know, the place itself and sort of, because it's so different from what I know. And one of the things that I always kind of say is that, I mean, I'm always like, when I go to Texas or I talk to Texans, I'm just observing, I'm talking to them, I'm getting to know them and the place that they live and they inhabit and where they spend their lives. And I find it fascinating. I want to capture that and I want it to feel real, but while also telling our, you know, crazy stories about serial killers and cults and in this case, a gang getting in trouble with the law. It's really just, it just comes down to the fact that I like the West. I like exploring them. I think that it's fun, but I want to hear what Jake has to say because he's in a different part of the world.
I'd never been to Texas until last year, about a year ago. So I came to Texas pretty much through this book. You know, like I've seen some Westerns, but I was never obsessed. I wasn't really growing up, you know, Back to the Future 3 was probably the most obsessed ever came with the Western.
Everyone's favorite Western.
Yeah, exactly. But then since in the last few years, definitely got more into it. But it's just, yeah, it was interesting because, yeah, coming at it from the UK, it's it's a whole separate thing. It's it's not even a real world. So trying to sort of get into that and under the skin of it and not avoid it becoming a cliche was quite difficult, I think, because it's just I know, I only know the cliche. So yeah, it's quite a fun challenge, and it just means, you know, it's a lot of research, and like Chris, you know, guides me where he can and like sends me reference and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, we luckily went out to West Texas last year. Me and my girlfriend went and met with Chris as well while we were there for a few days. So it's just, you know, this time around, I get to use some of the photo reference that I took myself, which is so much better than, you know, Googling, you know, a lot of like driving around on Street View and that kind of stuff. Getting to use actual, well, memory and photographs and video and all sorts, is so much, you know, it feels like a much more informed way of doing things. Like, I'm not just...
You could feel the heat that was there when you were there.
Because it's completely different to here. Like, just in terms of, like, scale, it's like everything, like, you know, and the space between things, and the width of roads is, like, three times the size as you would get here. So it's like
even the toast
like
is bigger.
So it's it was so beneficial, I think, to go and see it in person. But now I'm just like itching to go back.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
Even talking about Enfield Gang, like from a research perspective for both of you, I feel like, and without giving away anything from the story, like how did you sort of get into that world? I feel like back then I worked on a project about a gang, which was like a family essentially in upstate New York that had, that was also sort of broken up, I guess I should say, called the Loomis Gang. And that world, it's like a whole different, what a gang meant back then was something completely different. So could you talk about from a writing and art perspective, how you got into that world?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was just, you know, there was a West Texas historian that I talked with. His name is Larry Frenzel.
Larry.
And Jake and
shout out to Larry.
Shout out to Larry. I don't think he listens to podcasts, unfortunately. but Larry was kind enough. He gave us a tour of the fort in Fort Davis, unfortunately named after Jefferson Davis, Confederate president. But he was very much instrumental. I mean, I spoke with him when we were in Texas, and then I kept in touch with him after we left Texas. He sent me a book of his that he wrote on Fort Davis, that area in West Texas where Ambrose County is based. And it, one of the main things that he had an influence on was one of the main characters, who was Captain Eli of the Texas Rangers. Originally, he was a marshal. And in talking to Larry, Larry was like, you know, this story is all sounding really good. The only thing is that I don't think that the marshal would have jurisdiction here. It would be a Texas Ranger. He would supersede everybody else. And so that became a thing that we brought into the book, was make this character a Texas Ranger, have him be this sort of pivotal character in the book. And I mean, in terms of the gang itself, just, you know, doing a lot of research. I mean, obviously, like watching classic Westerns, everything from, you know, Liberty Valance to The Naked Spur to like even just something like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. So it's all an influence. And I definitely try to pepper in things where I can here and there from those influences. But yeah, I read, so I'm a big fan of the Coen brothers, True Grit, and read the book recently. Also read, forget the name, it's a history of Texas. What's it? Big Wonderful Thing, I think it's called. It's a gigantic tome. Just about
a very whimsical title for a history of Texas.
Well, it's a Georgia O'Keeffe quote about Texas.
It's been sat next to my bed for about a year now. Like, yeah. I think I've got 20. It's like 1,000 pages long, and I've got 20 pages.
It's a brick.
I'm like, that'll do.
But yeah, I read that, and just I even like went back and I was reading. I was literally reading about frontier governments and how they work. And so I'm literally like from like 1860, I was reading about like a book. It was just a PDF. I couldn't find an actual copy of it, but I was just reading a PDF of that. And And then again, Larry recommended some other books. It was just a lot of research, like from everywhere. It wasn't just, and I also was reading things like Rawhide Kid, you know, just like everything I could get my hands on that was a Western. Just really just trying to absorb it all without limits, really. And then just also just with, you know, what we already have established in that Texas Blood, trying to have it feel in a similar vein, but at the same time, completely different. So like trying to figure out how to do that and how to tell it. And I think that's part of I wouldn't say difficult isn't the word, a challenge is a better way to describe it, because I appreciate the challenge of it. And I appreciate that every arc we have a different challenge going into it. Whether, you know, with Snowfalls, Endlessly in Wonderland, our third arc, I made a conscious decision to not put a lot of dialogue in it and let Jake's art really take the forefront there. And, you know, in this, it was the three panel. And then also just trying to figure out, okay, how do we introduce a whole new set of characters in this world that people already know to a certain extent, and, you know, reintroduce the world in a different way, because it's not the same world. It was a world 150 years in the past. So how do we do that? So the research definitely came in handy.
The Last Kids on Earth and their superhero alter egos are back in the latest installment of the graphic novel spinoff series, The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk face their biggest challenge yet, creating the sequel to their hit graphic novel in a mad dash, puzzle-filled race across Apocalyptia to stop the biggest evil plan in history. Hey, you know what the creators of Last Comics on Earth's evil plan is? Make me and my kids love these books. Seriously, my younger kid is a huge fan of both the Last Kid series and the Last Comic series.
It's true.
And now I'm hooked too. The whole team has created a delightful cast of characters with some fantastic kid-friendly art throughout that will appeal to readers of all ages. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com to learn more. Well, I wanted to ask you on the flip side, though, once you've done that research and you've looked at all the media and everything, how do you synthesize that into not just the story, but the history you're dealing with in the story? Because this is skirting spoilers, but at the end of the first issue, you have a pretty lengthy text piece that's a news article about what people think happened, but what actually happened, and is giving hints about it. So clearly, even beyond the plot of the story, you have multiple versions of a history laid out there. So how do you put all of that together?
Yeah, I mean, a big thing for me was just learning about the Texas Rangers and about they weren't exactly, you know, the heroes that people think they are to a large, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe there were good things that have happened, but there were massacres in the past. There were massacres that were hidden, and there's also, you know, lots of bad things that happened, and the Texas Rangers were there. And so, you know, that looking at that and knowing that that happened, and then looking at the fact that there's a museum in Waco, Texas for the Texas Rangers. And we celebrate them, that they go on parade, and we have the Lone Ranger, and we have all these, you know, there was a John Milius film called Texas Rangers, and there's all these like books and
baseball team.
Yeah. There's a baseball team. They're looked at as these heroic figures. And to know that history and to sort of break it down and want to explore that a little bit. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get into it as deeply as maybe we could have, or maybe in another book somewhere, but it's something that I wanted to layer into the history of it. And not only that, I wanted to dive deeper into the history of this fictional West Texas County, because if you look at the actual history of Texas counties, I mean, you find things like this where there's certain people who ended up, you know, sort of guiding where a county is going in its history, wanting a certain place to be the county seat, arguments between other counties. It's all very interesting. I mean, and to just how I like sort of synthesize that into the story that we're telling is I just write the history of it, and then I just sit down and I have to write the script and figure out where to go from there. I mean,
wow.
a lot of times what I'll do is I'll write like something nobody will ever see, but it's like a story from the perspective of a character. And I might not even use it in the comic, but it's something so that I understand the character's mindset, where they're at, how they fit into the history of the place, how they fit into the story, all that. Oftentimes will take place before the story or after the story or whatever, but it's like that helps me so much in like figuring out a character, in terms of whether it's Enfield or whether it's somebody like LQ West, who's, involved in the story. I wish I had a better answer for you that was a little more clear cut, but it's just, you know, pulling everything and just trying to get it all just on the page and as best I can. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that works for me. That's all good.
Yeah.
Jacob, I do want to jump back to something you said earlier in terms of the layouts for this series in particular. You said that it makes it harder on the writer, which is not the sort of thing that you hear very often in comics. Usually it's the writer making the artist go insane, being like, yeah, you know, just draw the biggest battle scene of all time. It's good. Don't worry about it.
Your revenge on all writers, basically.
Yeah, my question is, how do you take revenge? No, my question is, I guess it's clearly you guys have a good relationship and a good working relationship back and forth. Now that you're essentially in the fourth-ish arc of working together, how has that relationship grown and changed for you from the artistic perspective?
I don't know. I think from the start, Chris sort of just let me, you know, do what I wanted in terms of responding to his scripts. Like, very rarely would I get any kind of changes or notes, really, other than like, I like it. So that stayed the same throughout. So it's like, you know, and we talk every day, and it's a lot. Like, if I have any questions, it's just like message and be like, you know, what do you think about this? What would you prefer here? Kind of thing. And it is, yeah, it's back and forth. You know, I'm like, oh, I've got this idea for this. Like, what do you think? He's like, yeah, sure. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I think we've got maybe more comfortable with each other anyway. Like, you know, because we've known each other for a good few years now. And, you know, like I said, we talk every day. We've worked on, you know, hundreds of pages together. So it is just like, I think we just trust each other to do our thing. You know, I don't really send Chris any roughs or anything. I send him pencils normally, just to make sure there's nothing glaringly wrong before I go and ink it. But that's usually the first thing he sees. I don't send him any thumbnails or anything like that. And then, you know,
be able to understand them anyway.
That's true. Yeah. My thumbnails are like, sometimes I'm like, huh? What is this? But it's mostly just so I can figure out exactly how it fits on the page more than, you know, anything more than that. But yeah, I think it's just sort of, we just trust each other to do the job. Like, we both like what we do. So it's just, you know, I wouldn't want to interfere with what he's doing, and I don't think he'd want to interfere with what I'm doing. So it's just,
great.
You know, we luckily just, we like the same things. So it usually comes out, we both like it. So,
cool. Jacob, do you do anything as a palate cleanser from all this crime and murder you are, creating on the page?
No, it's constant. Today is my first day off in 3 weeks until I finished. Because I literally finished. So the PDF that you got yesterday or this morning, whenever it was, that I finished that last night, and then today is my day off.
Thank you for coming on and talking about crime.
Talking about it, literally hot off the press.
Yeah. So I've got a week off now. But I'll probably be, you know, I say a week off. I'll be working whilst I'm away on the next issue and on Newburn as well, because I've got a thumbnailer, an issue of that. So it's just, It's just constant.
Yeah. Well, getting back to the book before we wrap up with you guys here, I know you said it's very much kind of its own thing. Without getting into spoilers too much, we have six issues. Is this going to impact that Texas blood at all? Are we going to see repercussions or references going forward to the next arc of that book?
So the thing that I like to think is that it's going to I mean, I don't want to get into spoilery stuff, I mean, the thing that I was really intrigued by going back and telling the story is that, you know, we often kind of talk about, like, you know, is this place, like, just evil? Like, is this just a bad place? You know, we have Joe Bob asking those questions in arcs of that Texas blood. And I think that a big thing of what we're exploring in this arc or in this spinoff is that, like, the original sin of the county, you know? So it's in terms of that, I think that's the biggest thing that we're looking at in terms of impact on that text. But we will see later on, we'll see some descendants of certain people pop up here and there. We're not going to hit you over the head with it. It's not going to be like, you know, Joe Bob with
Enfield.
But it's, you know, it's something that I, you know, that's how these places are in West Texas. You know, there's people that have been there for, you know, their family's been there for hundreds of years at this point. So it's something that I'm looking forward to seeing how people react to it, and you know, going into the next arc of that Texas blood, I mean, we're going to be seeing characters that we explored previously in the first arc of that Texas, but we're going to see them come back in the subsequent arc. So it's all influencing itself, and it's all, you know, it's all a big boiling pot of Texas blood.
Texas chili. Yeah. Texas blood chili. So the short answer is yes, it is evil there. It's evil and it continues to be evil.
Well, sure.
Awesome. Once again, it's the Enfield Gang Massacre, six issues. It comes out August 9th. We think the final letter cut update is July 17th. So definitely before then, just to be safe, go to your comic book shop. Tell them you want the book. Mm-hmm. Tell them to order the book so that it sells out and we get a lot more. And we get a whole TTBEU. Is that what we said?
Yeah, there it is.
That's what we'll say.
Yeah, awesome. And you have to take your time every time you say it.
Yeah, you have to think about it.
Really think about it.
You got to really think about it. Love the book, guys. We've been huge champions. It's been so good the jump. So this is another great extension in the EU.
Thank you very much.
And if you'd like to support the show and all the shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about comic books, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. To subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram and TikTok, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, bye.
I'm having Texas blood chili for lunch, so it's perfect.
Save me some of that.
Appetite wet.